Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Well, as you heard right there, we are going to talk about playoffs. I know Coach Jim Mora didn't want to, but we're in week 11 for most of the country. And I think it's a great opportunity to look at some ways we maximize this extra time that we get to develop our players, especially our younger players. And to join me on this conversation today is our guest host, Andy Ryland. Andy, as always, great to talk ball with you.
Good morning, Keith. Thanks for having me again.
Well, Andy, I think about this a while back. When I was at Baldwin-Wallace University, I thought about Mount Union and basically, you know, Mount Union, whether they were winning or losing, they were playing 15 weeks of the year, and what a tremendous opportunity that was for them. They essentially got a half season more to get better, and not just the starters, but guys maybe who were down the line. And I think if you handle this right, not only can you be preparing to win the game this Friday, but you can be building for the future and getting guys ready, and that's what we're going to discuss here today.
Yeah, you're spot on with that. And I think the same thing holds true. You hear the conversation every year around the Power 5 and the Division 1, bowl subdivision teams. Even though they're only playing one game, some reporter will always bring up the fact that they get all those extra weeks of practice leading into the bowl game. So at the FCS level, those guys are playing week in and week out. But even at the bowl level, 5 weeks of practice is a lot of development time. And for those coaches lucky enough to make it to the playoffs, there's some extra time for them to develop their players.
Absolutely. And we want to share some ideas today that get you thinking about how can you do this. And we're certainly not limiting to these ideas. Hopefully, as always, what we're talking about sparks some thought on your part on how you can get more out of this time. And so let's take a look at the understanding of the game and the football IQ side and how we can use this time to do two things, accomplish two things: better prepare our varsity team, our team who is playing under the lights this Friday, as well as preparing our young guys for the future. So I'll kick that over to you, Andy.
Yeah, so for most of us, as we get to the playoffs, you know, our JVs, our B teams, our younger guys are done. And I think it's common practice to keep up a fair number of players, whether it's everybody or whether it's a select few. You keep up enough to put together your full scout team, and maybe a couple younger guys get to go through that developmental process. So there's a ton of key learning that can be had by those young guys, so they're not just bodies on the scout team. One of the things that we want to recommend is, you know, you dedicate one of your coaches who's ever going to organize your scout team to take those young players. And when you're having your individual meetings or when you're having your offensive and defensive install meetings, those guys that you know aren't in the game plan, let's have a meeting with them where we're going to install the opponent's plays. This is going to do a couple things for us. First off, it'll ensure we get the best possible scout look. Now, are we still going to have our cards on the field? Absolutely. But by talking through the key plays, talking through the goals, talking through how they block it, your guys start to understand how the other team performs. They'll be able to give you a better look. The other thing about it is it's a great opportunity for us to start educating our players, maybe specifically to our scheme, but it doesn't have to be. We talk so much about dynamic, problem-solving playmakers, and a great understanding of football in general can help that. So if you're playing a team that runs a different defensive system than you do, when you're installing this scout team plan, what you're actually doing is you're starting to teach them about other coverages, about the goals of other coverages, what they're best against. You can start to install what are the weaknesses. Hey guys, just so you know, we're facing a cover two base team this week. These are the stereotypical holes in a cover two defense. Here's how our offense is going to try to attack it. So now, the next years, those young players know every time they see a cover two team come up on the schedule or the scouting report, hey, I remember my time as a scout guy. This is what a cover two is trying to do. Here's the holes. I bet you we're going to try to attack it here, here, and here. These are our concepts. So we start understanding global football IQ, global football understandings. If your opponents are running the same plays as you, it's an absolutely great time to say, hey, guys, this is just like our power. We're going to do X, Y, Z. Let's review the key points. Let's make sure we're spot on. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. So a lot of the guys who will take those younger guys up get really concerned about their reps or getting stealing some extra time to get guys used to their system. Don't be afraid to use this time to make sure you teach these guys about football, because not only will they be good at your system, if they have a better understanding of the other systems that are out there, the other systems they're likely to face, they'll be more attuned to the solutions you provide in the game planning. Now, the final point we'll talk about this is, because this is a very teaching-heavy role, make sure you select the right coach to run this meeting. So sometimes there's coaches that have a big, loud voice and do a great job of keeping the scout team organized and running smoothly on the practice field. But when it comes to these football IQ meetings, these teach and install meetings, make sure you have one of your best teachers of the game run this process. So, you know, you're going to have, you'll say, your top line guys, they're with their position groups, they're going through the film, the game plan, the install. Make sure you take a great teacher, one of your younger coaches, put him with the scout team group and say, all right, coach, I want you to install the opponent's coverages. Let's get deep into it. Let's make sure they understand what the opponent's trying to do, why it's a good coverage, what it's strong against, what the holes are, and let's really improve that information. I think in the long run, if you start doing this with your freshmen, your sophomores, maybe even a junior who's not playing very much, the return on investment when they come back is a much better football player, because they've accumulated some more knowledge and they're getting the extra practice reps. When it comes to the individual period, they're just making sure that they're now a more knowledgeable football athlete come next season.
Andy, some great ideas there. A couple things I'd like to add to that. When you're thinking in terms of prepping your scout team, I think it's very valuable to put together a playlist for them of some key plays. Now, we don't want to overburden them with a ton of film study, but pointing out certain things. So let's take the example I talked about a couple weeks back and finding a defensive indicator on the field. We might be, for example, running a cover two, a cover four, three under, three deep, but we found that our particular opponent is going to have some tells as far as where they place, let's say, in the example I use, that boundary safety, that he's going to align in some different places that kind of start to show us where their coverage is going to adjust to, where they're moving to, potentially even is a fire zone coming, is a blitz coming, etc. And so when we have that player prepared and we've showed him on film, maybe we directly address him through a screencast. Hey, Johnny, this is what I need from you. You're going to be playing this safety this week, and this is how you best prepare our team for Friday. And you start to point out the differences. So, hey, when we call our cover four, this is where I need you to align. When we call our cover three, you're going to roll down from here. And so now he's starting to give a better look, and he really then buys into his role in preparing the team, because I think it's all about these guys understanding you have a role here. And the role in this case and what we're talking about right now is to prep us for Friday night so we can be the best we can be. So utilize some of your technology on Huddle. Don't be afraid to sit down and just take that screencast for 5 or 10 minutes, send it to your guys. You get a chance to see if they looked at it. But now that gives them some information, and they start to understand, like, wow, these guys are really coaching me up, and they're helping me this week. And you want those guys to be engaged. You just don't want them standing around, maybe suffering through the cold and rain, surviving these couple weeks, rather than being able to go out there and grow and help your team and provide a role and again, build into that buy-in and culture.
Spot on comment again there. And the other thing where the film might be very helpful is when they do – something similar to you, but maybe a little bit different. So let's say they run their twist stunts with their defensive line a little bit differently timing-wise, or maybe some different footwork than you. To prepare for that look, it's okay to show those guys, hey, this is just like text, except look how they do X, Y, Z a little bit different. I think I'm of the opinion, I believe you are as well, that it's okay to practice and have these guys do some reps that aren't locked in, super screwed down model of this is how we do it. We're developing general athleticism. We're developing general football skills. We're developing players that are a little more malleable and able to adapt to different situations because they have more tools. So, hey, guys, let's look at how they do this thing. I want you to see if you can do it just like this to help get our guys prepared. They learn some new skills. They develop physically. And then next season, you'll plug back into your technique. But I think in the long run, it pays off to have a player who has more in his toolbox than only learning one singular technique this whole entire time. So view it for what it's worth, global development.
And I think another portion of this, Andy, that really goes into the development is the aspect of competition. And our JV guys basically have had that removed from their season. There is no game for them at the end of the week. So we need to find ways to build that into our practices, essentially as both a reward, but also just to feed that competitive spirit of those guys. And it's something I think you don't just take them off to the side and you guys go scrimmage on your own while we're over here working. I think you can set it up that at the end of a period or at the end of a practice, whatever it might be, that you put these guys on stage, that you let the varsity players get behind them and be creative with how you create a competition. And I'll kind of walk through the course of the week and give you some ideas on that. So let's start with, you know, our base install day. Maybe that's a Tuesday for us, and we're going to go through and work our game plan in the open field. So let's do that. Let's give them the opportunity at the end. Let's tell them, hey, you have 8 plays here to run, or 10 plays, you know, make it that type of scrimmage, and you divide those guys up between offense and defense. Be sure to get everybody involved. Everybody gets some reps one way or the other. Again, we don't want anybody sitting on the side and not partaking in this. We want those guys to have the opportunity, so make sure all your guys get in somewhere. And we put the ball, let's say, on the 35. Now, let's have the varsity guys put some wage on this, okay? Maybe it's, hey, go stand on the yard line you think these guys will get to. And maybe on one side of the field, you put guys betting on the defense. One side of the field, you put guys betting on the offense. And if they exceed where that guy was standing on defense, he lost the bet. If it's the offense and they exceed where they were going on offense, they win the bet. And now those guys have some competition. So maybe some guys go stand in the end zone. They think these guys are going to score. They don't score, what's on the line? Have a captain of O, captain of D, wade something. Maybe it's push-ups. Maybe it's something silly like singing a song. But make it fun. Make it competitive. And those guys now standing around the field are really cheering on these younger guys. And again, now those guys have the center stage for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of practice to be able to go out there and compete. Carry this on over the course of the week. Maybe we get down into a third down period, and we've worked all of our third downs on a certain day. So now we're going to work these guys, let's say, just on a few plays. Maybe it's a third and long, a third and medium, and a third and short, and 3 plays. Either the offense or defense is going to win. Again, let those guys divide up and wager something on either side. And now who won that third down scrimmage on a Wednesday? Maybe there's a red zone period in there too. Put them in the red zone. Allow them to do the same thing. They get the chains out, allow them to go from the 20-yard line, and you know either the offense is scoring or the defense getting a stop. So looking at those opportunities, go to the goal line. Create a goal line period for them on whatever day you do goal line, that these guys now can learn to compete in those situations just the same as they would on a Friday night. But they have their contact available. These guys are not hitting on Saturday, so feel free to go ahead and make these some live periods for them. They're not going to last long. You know, typically at this time of the year, we take the contact out. But now go ahead and put those things in there for them and allow them to compete in those situations. Put them on the stage either during a period in practice for 5 minutes or at the end of practice for 5 or 10 minutes. And those guys are going to show a lot of appreciation for that. Maybe you look at Thursday, now typically your walkthrough day. You go ahead and do your walkthrough and you say, hey, JV guys, we're going to suit up today. And you guys get to scrimmage for 15 or 20 minutes at the end in an inter-squad scrimmage. And again, don't let those guys go when they're done with the walkthrough. Let them be out there. Let them be on the field. Maybe they're even help coaching up these young guys. And I think it's just a great opportunity. We maximize the competition now. Andy, you talked about maximizing the learning and the understanding of the game. And I think that's now how we get more out of these weeks as we progress through the offseason, hopefully taking us all the way to a state championship. Getting all that extra development time as well, I think, is a huge bonus. And I think that's how we need to frame it and look at it when we're approaching how do we handle our younger guys at this time of the year.
Yeah, it's really important because as much as all coaches harp on the importance of scouting and playing your role, they don't have the reward of Friday or Saturday night whenever your playoff game is. So giving them something that can be rewarding, that can be fun. You know, I envision that young sophomore coming back home. Hey, how was practice? Hey, you know, that All-State running back we're playing this week, I'm getting to play him in practice. You know, coaches are saying I'm doing a good job. Oh, we also had this third down scrimmage. I converted 2 third downs. We won the series 2-1. The offense won the bet. The defense had to sing a Backstreet Boys song or something silly, and it's a good time. It's really going to juice them up, make this end of practice season for them more meaningful. The other thing that I love that you said about the walkthrough is keeping the older guys out to help support the walkthrough. I highly advise, you know, let some of those older guys, those defensive and offensive captains, let them call the plays.
Yeah.
You know, let them be offensive and defensive coordinator. Let them enjoy it. If they're interacting with your system, with your plays, with your blitzes, good for their learning. They're having fun. Now they're engaged and invested in this little 10 to 15 minute period. So again, it doesn't have to be much. As you said, we do our third down period and then we have, hey guys, sophomores up, 3 plays, third down scrimmage. Your total contact is still really low. Hey, we finish our goal line period, whether it's versus a scout or whether it's good on good. Hey, sophomores up, young guys up. We're going to go 3 plays, goal line scrimmage. You know, we're talking 3 minutes a day of full contact, but a chance for them to shine, I think, will really help keep their interest, keep their enthusiasm, and it'll keep encouraging them to get better and not just to be running the scout team.
And lay it out at the beginning of the week. I think one thing, our challenge is always to keep those guys engaged at this time of the year. You might have those guys who maybe are looking forward to basketball tryouts or something like that, but let them know there's a reward at the end of the week that you are going to have that inter-squad scrimmage. And put it on the line for them. Guys, I need you to compete all week. I need you to be engaged. We can't be inattentive at practice. We can't be goofing around. You guys do that, you meet those standards, then we're going to have this scrimmage for you on a Thursday where you guys will get to go out and play a little bit. So I think there's an incentive there for them. I think the daily competitions will be great, making it fun for the older guys. I really like the idea of letting the older guys coach them up in some of those, let them call the plays. I think there's a lot of fun to be had for those young guys as you continue on and prepare for the playoffs.
No doubt. It's one of the things a lot of people don't think about maybe earlier in their coaching career, but you start thinking about, okay, I'm a little more veteran now. How do I keep my young guys engaged on these hopefully deep, long playoff runs and creating some good structures around install, teaching, and competition through those extra 5 weeks, as you mentioned, is really going to help keep those guys locked in, part of the team, and part of the process.
Well, Andy, some great ideas today. As always, I appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk ball with me. Look forward to doing a couple more of these before we wrap it up for the season. But it's been great so far. Coaches, encourage you to go back and listen to some of these. I think there's some great ideas as you build out. If you're done, you build out for 2019 and look at how you might add more to your practices, your drills, etc. We will be trying to gather all this together for you here in the near future, put some kind of either blog or downloadable playbook or drill book together for you that will have these ideas in. The other thing I want to remind everybody about is our national conference, which is February 22nd through 24th in Orlando. I think this is a great time for you to get out and network with coaches around the country, be able to problem solve, talk to guys who maybe are outside that normal area where you get together with coaches and find guys who are experience some of the same things that you do, but just maybe in another different place in the country. We have a great lineup of NFL, college, and high school speakers. There are high school speakers have won over 75 state championships. We have four coaches who have over 300 wins in their career. Just an incredible lineup. PJ Fleck is one of our keynote speakers. You'll see Brian Kite there for 2 sessions as well. If you go to usafootball.com, NC19 podcast, register there. If you put in the code podcast99, you'll be able to save on the registration.
Highly encourage you guys to go to the website, check out the list of high school speakers. This is the best collection of high school speakers in the country. Coaches just like you, fighting the same battles you are with some great ideas. So to all the coaches playing this week, good luck. all the guys whose seasons are done. We hope you're still enjoying the podcast, taking some of these great ideas down, and hope to see you at the National Conference.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.